Historians will write about the great shift in global wealth when oil prices collapsed here in late 2014. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. Starting today in Russia, where there's news of recession, BBC business reporter Russell Padmore joins us. Good morning, Russell.
Morning to David.
When last we checked with Russian economic forecasters, they were thinking that the economy there would grow next year, but now word that it's contracting. Should we blame the price of oil?
Yes, blame the price of oil and the crisis that the Russian government is facing with the significant drop in value of the Russian ruble currency. We've learned from the economics ministry in Moscow that it's now saying the economy will contract by 0.8% in 2015. So the Russians really have a challenge when you remember their economy is really driven by the energy industry.
Presumably, Western sanctions on Russia because of Ukraine are also playing out here. But we're also learning today, Russell, that Russian President Putin has scrapped a plan for a new natural gas pipeline that would have gone to Western Europe. I think it's going to go to Turkey instead.
There was a lot of talk about this South Stream pipeline, the project that would have brought gas to Europe via Bulgaria. Now, the Russians have said that plan is actually scrapped. They're going to find a new partner, which is probably Turkey. And indeed, that $40 billion project is over and done with, largely because there is less demand from Europe. Because remember, too, here in the European Union, many economies are struggling and flirting with recession.
The BBC's Russell Padmore. Thank you very much.
David, thank you.
In the coming hours, we'll hear from car and truck companies about their U.S. sales last month, and many expect the holidays to come early for automakers, with the economy up and gas prices down. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Analysts expect Americans bought as many as 1.3 million new vehicles last month, a nice boost over the previous November. That's in part because more dealers joined the Black Friday craze. They're also selling pricier vehicles, so bigger transactions than ever before. Independent consultant Alan Baum says today's new car buyer is well off.
Hence not only the increase in sales volumes, but the increase in transaction prices and therefore profits. All of that is obviously very good for the car companies.
Or perhaps we should call them light truck companies. That is where the action is, says Rebecca Caldwell at Edmunds.com.
The small crossover SUV market has really skyrocketed, really at the expense of cars. I mean, the light trucks have outsold cars for over a year now.
Big winner in this space is Jeep. Its sales grew a whopping 45% the past year, revving up a broader comeback for parent company Chrysler. One factor nudging up truck and SUV sales, says Caldwell, low gas prices. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
The lame duck Congress could not agree on wider tax reform, but there's still the possibility that lawmakers will restore some tax breaks that expired at the end of last year. This includes the ability to write off state and local tax, sales tax, and mortgage interest on the federal returns, and those tax breaks for teachers who pay out of pocket for classroom materials. One in six taxpayers are affected by all of these. If Congress does restore the breaks, it'll only count for 2014, not for 2015 or beyond. Yesterday, the gods, small g, proclaimed that we were supposed to buy things on the internet for Cyber Monday. Today, it's Giving Tuesday for charity. Picking up this theme, let's turn to a leading light of online social media who argues that in the near future, companies will spend most of their advertising money on philanthropy. What? Biz Stone was a co-founder of Twitter and is now CEO of Jelly, which, among other things, has an app called Super, which is about ornate digital postcards.
Consumers are attracted to products and services that they know have some sort of meaning behind them. So therefore, you shouldn't have your philanthropy department or your corporate social responsibility department off to the side. You should have it bound to your main revenue model such that as your company does well, you do good.
The core of this is making the world a better place, motivating employees and so forth. But clearly, there's a built-in assumption there about consumers. Apparently, consumers want cash on the barrelhead.
Yeah, they really do, and especially millennials. They also choose companies to work for that they know are doing something pro-social. I mean, especially in Silicon Valley, you have people who can work anywhere they want. And for them, it's not about money anymore. It's about, what does this company stand for? And do I like it? And do I want to stand with them?
You think you'll eventually have to apply these principles to the super app or Jelly? In other words, if it becomes big time and generates a lot of money, that there will have to be a philanthropic component?
Well, we're going to turn Jelly Industries into a B Corp, which changes the definition of value, essentially.
Right. A traditional non-B corporation has to focus quite narrowly on shareholder value. B Corp solves that, essentially.
Exactly. In a C Corp, if a CEO decides to give away money, he's doing a bad job. But in a B Corp, value gets redefined as money plus some sort of pro-social element. So whatever they decide that they want to do, they're held accountable to it. They don't just say they're going to do it. And that's one of the great things, because even the most well-intentioned people can say they want to do something and then just never find the time. But if you're held accountable to it, you really got to do it.
Well, Biz Stone was the co-founder of Twitter. He's now CEO of Jelly. His book is Things a Little Bird Told Me, Confessions of a Creative Mind. Biz, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mr. Stone has a graphic design background. I asked him about the thesis that designers will soon rule the world. If you missed that part of the interview on the air, we're making a streaming version for Marketplace.org later this morning. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.